Malaria parasites in Cambodia are showing resistance to the frontline drug pipaquin, making current treatment useless and putting lives at risk. Dr. Roberto Amato and his team uncovered the genetic basis for this resistance. He took me through the study, starting with how they collected parasite samples.
We collect about 300 samples from Cambodia, three provinces in Cambodia, over 3 years. We sequenced the genome of the parasites here at Sanger. We did what we call genome-wide association study. So basically, we go through the genome of the parasite to see if there is any change which is associated with the phenotype. Phenotype in this case, so what we measure are two different things. One is what is called IC50. Basically, it's the amount of drug that you need to kill the parasite. The other phenotype is coming from the patient. So we checked after the treatment to see if the treatment was actually effective or not. Basically, if the person gets sick again with the same, exactly the same strain, meaning that after the drug, the parasite stayed in the body.
Once collected, the parasite genome was sequenced to see if any mutations correlated with resistance.
And what we found is that at least two markers came out. One in particular we're quite excited about is what we call copy number variant in two genes called plasmepsin 2 and 3. By copy number, I mean that parasites that are not responding to the drug have multiple copies of these genes, up to 4 or 5 copies.
Having multiple copies of plasmepsins not only protected the parasites from the drug outside the body, it led to poor outcomes for patients.
And what we observed is that patients carrying infection with mutant parasites, so having extra copy of the plasmepsin gene, had only 40% chance of the treatment to be effective.
The success rate of the combination treatment against parasites with only one copy of this gene is around 95%. So what does this gene normally do? Once inside the body, the parasites hide inside red blood cells, where this gene is now active.
The parasites need to eat, and food that is eating when it's inside the red blood cells is hemoglobin. The problem with hemoglobin is that when the parasite digests hemoglobin, it releases what are called free heme, which are toxic for the parasite. So it needs to detoxify heme, so basically making harmful for them. So plasmepsin are two of a set of genes, a set of proteins, which are involved in this digestive process.
Why does having multiple copies of this gene offer pipaquin resistance?
It's a bit unclear how piperaquine works, so this is still early days. What people think is that piperaquine acts on the very same process plasmepsin are part of. So it's possible that having extra copy will allow the parasites to go through this digestive process in a more effective way and will possibly even balancing out the disruption caused by the drug.
How do the findings here help us in the fight against malaria?
You have a simple tool you can use to monitor how far resistance has got and deploy at the regional level, for example, the best treatment. So you're deploying a treatment that is more likely to work in that specific area.
And what treatment is likely to work against pipaquin-resistant parasites?
The good news is that what we observed is that parasites that are resistant to piperaquine are also seems to be, at molecular level, very least, to be sensitive to drugs we've used in the past, which is mefloquine. So the hope there is that we could, for example, alternate between two drugs, or like people are doing at the moment in some provinces in Cambodia, even think about a triple combination therapy.
That was Dr. Roberto Amato from the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute in Cambridge, and the paper was published in Lancet Infectious Diseases.